This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Thanks for watching, as always, on YouTube TV, listening on Sirius XM, now on channel 189, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our great affiliates across the country. Pauly, let's start the hour very strong with game one coming up tonight. Let's go out to the Progressive guest line. Let's bring in a Hall of Famer, a gentleman who is going to be covering the NFL for the 35th year in a row right now. It is the great Sal Palantonio. Sal Pal, as always, a treat. How are you, my friend?
Oh, it's so great to be on with you guys. And truthfully, my football season doesn't start until I get on this show with you two gentlemen. So thank you so much for having me on for another year.
Oh, I can't wait. Every Wednesday, you're going to join the program. It's one of the highlights that we have every single week of the entire year. Let's get going with tonight's game. A lot of money here on the Patriots, Sal Pal. We just watched the game in the Super Bowl. It was not close. They got pounded. What do you make of this line move?
Well, you know, I'm not a big believer in New England. I'm not. Having gone to their practices, joint practices with the Eagles, and just doing my own study of the team and talking to people, I don't think New England has adequately addressed the offensive line problems that were exposed in the Super Bowl. I just don't think they have. I still think that Seattle will torment Drake May. I think they will come after him early and often in this game, putting up the banner with the 12th man there, being at home. I really do like Seattle in this game quite a bit. Remember, the Patriots only scored 13 points in that Super Bowl. Points scored, 13. Maybe tonight they get to 17 or 20, but that is not going to be enough to beat the Seattle Seahawks. I do not believe they beat Seattle tonight, and I think Seattle covers.
Okay, strong, good points. Does Seattle make a deep playoff run again?
I do think they make a deep playoff run. I like them a lot. I think they're really well coached. Obviously, Sam Darnold losing Clint Kubiak is significant. I think Kubiak really helped Darnold reach his potential with all that play-action pass. But I really am bullish on Jardarian Price. I think they made the steal of the first round. The running back out of Notre Dame, I think he is going to be a major factor in that division all year long. Their defense is still lights out good. They can rush the passer. They have one of the best off-the-ball players in Nick Inuiwari. I think they have a great, great defense, and they have a great, great scheme, and I like Seattle making a deep playoff run.
Okay, so Hall of Famer, 35 years covering the league. I got to get your thoughts on tomorrow and how both organizations are looking at this completely different on when to get to Australia. Rams laying 3.5. All the hype with the Rams, and rightfully so, what they did in the offseason, that we won't see Donald out of the gates. What do you think of the game and how the Niners got there early and the Rams are getting there last second?
Yeah, they got there like an hour ago.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it was a mistake by the Rams to do that. I'm just going to flat out say it. I think the Niners made the right move. I have been to Australia. I understand the long flight. I understand the long flight back. I understand what it does to your body and how it's difficult it is to get acclimated to such a long trip going across the international dateline. Raheem Morris lost his birthday. You know what? That's what we used to say in the Navy. We used to say, we're going to send you to sea, send you across the international dateline, and take away your birthday. That was the slogan. So, you know, I understand how difficult it is to get your body reoriented playing in Australia. It's different than the Eagles or the Packers going to Brazil. I went on that trip. Why? Because you're not crossing the time zones. Yes, it was a long flight, but you weren't crossing so many time zones. So I think the Niners got this right, and I think it's going to help the Niners in this football game. I think the Rams still have problems on their offensive line. Yes, they have added, obviously, Garrett. He's such a great player, and it's going to make him better in terms of rushing the passer. And they've got some good players, and they've got Matthew Stafford. but I'm not sure that they can protect Stafford up the middle. I still think that's a problem. I like the Niners in this game quite a bit.
To win it outright?
Ooh.
You think they win it outright, Sal Pal?
I do. I think the Niners win this game outright.
Okay, so then so think about this then for a second. If you're right about that, Niners get the win. Think about the Rams' schedule, and we have no idea what it's going to be like for either team coming back from Australia and playing the games after this. The Rams get the Giants on Monday night, then a back-to-back Denver and Philly, and then the Bills. Like, isn't there an angle here where they start like 2-3 with all this hype?
Yes, it's going to be difficult for them. Absolutely. Mm. Yeah, I agree. I look at their schedule. The two most important things, and I've talked about this on your show for years, the two most important things that determine the number of wins that you have in a season are strength of schedule, outright, number one. Look at the New England Patriots. Everybody's talking about the fact that the New England Patriots, well, they were undefeated on the road last year. Well, yeah, but who did they beat on the road last year? Who did they beat on the road last year that was a quality win? They beat the Jets on the road, the Dolphins on the road, Tampa on the road. Stop me when I've named a playoff game. Mm. Bengals playoff team, yep. Bengals on the road, Saints on the road, Titans. They beat the Bengals without Burrow. They beat the Ravens, and Lamar didn't finish the game. They beat the Broncos yesterday. Yes, of course, but the Broncos didn't have Bo Nix. If Bo Nix plays in that game, I think the Broncos go to the Super Bowl and play Seattle and probably win it. So I'm looking. Strength of schedule is so important. And then the second most important thing is the quarterback's turnovers in the fourth quarter. Remember, gentlemen, 73 games last year in the NFL with 2025 season. 73 games were decided by one score or less. That's the most in NFL history. And if your quarterback turns the ball over in the game, but especially in the fourth quarter, it really kills your chances of winning football games.
I think your top pick Sunday is Pittsburgh. Am I right?
Right. And I am going to that game. And I think it is my top pick. I think, you know, Atlanta, they've got so many playmakers on the offensive side of the ball, but they were so uncertain about Tua. And Tua is the choice of quarterback because Penix is not ready. So I would agree with that. However, you got to watch this one thing in this football game, and I'm covering this game, and it's so important to focus on this, and that is that Atlanta's defensive coordinator is Jeff Ulbrich. Always look at who the coordinators are because coaches coach against coaches in the NFL. Jeff Ulbrich brought the blitz the second most in the NFL last year, 39% of the time. That was second only to Tampa. Second most. And what happened to Aaron Rodgers last year in the postseason when DeMeco Ryan said, okay, A-Rod, playtime is over. I'm going to blitz you out of the building. So watching this game, how much Atlanta blitzes Aaron Rodgers right from the get-go. I do like Pittsburgh because Atlanta's so inept offensively. But in this game particularly, watch what happens defensively when Atlanta is on the field. The team that I really like that you probably weren't going to ask me about is the New York Giants. Wow. I like the New York Giants in this game against Dallas. I really do. Listen, you guys are out in Vegas. Only 2.5? Isn't that a line that just says bags the Giants in this game? Or is it just a function of the money that is being put on the Giants because of all the talk around them? But I think that's another game where you lose your left guard. Mm-hmm. The Giants decided that Brian Burns and not Jackson Dart was going to be the face of their franchise when they put out the All 32 in the NFL for promotion of the league. I think the Giants are going to come after Dak Prescott in this game. I like the Giants a lot to cover and maybe win outright in this game against the Cowboys.
What, Dak has owned them, though. What is it, Paulie?
14 in a row.
Yeah.
Like the Giants.
Okay.
All right. Come back. Give me the Super Bowl pick.
Here we go. Let's make it official.
Okay, my Super Bowl pick is a tough one this year, but I like the Baltimore Ravens a lot. Having seen them in practice, knowing Jesse Minter, knowing the absolute mission that Lamar Jackson is on. I realize it's tough to win as a rookie head coach in the NFL, to win a Super Bowl, only been done twice. Don McCaffrey, he inherited a great team that was put together by Don Shula. And of course, George Seifert, he inherited a team that was put together by Bill Walsh. The same thing goes for Minter. He inherited a great team. He's got a great quarterback. He can win a lot of games in his division. Their schedule is not that tough. I like Baltimore playing Detroit in the Super Bowl.
Baltimore over Detroit. That's a hell of a game, and I would sign up for that this second.
Yes. Good pick.
Yeah.
Thanks, my man.
Do your Eagles roll this weekend?
Oh, yeah. I like the Eagles a lot. I do. You know, Nick Sirianni, when Jalen Hurts plays all four quarters, is 8-1 against Washington.
Good stat.
Yeah.
What's on the stove?
We're going to have a little spaghetti broccoli tonight. Got to keep it light. Got to go on the road. Let's go, baby. Come on.
Love you, Sal, pal. Enjoy the game tonight, tomorrow, and with the Pittsburgh game as well on Sunday. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate you guys.
Sal Palantonio, Hall of Famer, entering his 35th year covering the NFL. He'll join us every single Wednesday right here on Follow the Money.
Excellent. Sack prop over. There you go.
Yeah.
Not that, a fan of New England's offensive line still.
As he was speaking, a thought came to mind about a number that could move tonight with a defensive player of the year. Based on what he was saying and also what the Super Bowl looked like last year for Drake May. It did not go well. Seahawks had 6 sacks. Multiple guys had 2 sacks in that game. I'll bring up one of the guys tonight where he's in triple digits tonight to win Defensive Player of the Year. That could go bye-bye by 9 o'clock Pacific time. And if either of these two teams in action has an award winner, where is it coming from? That's next here on VSiN. Mike Palm will join the program coming up in 15 minutes. He is the VP of Circa Las Vegas, the D and the Golden Gate. I want to ask him about, like, over the course of time, this game's been on the betting board for months now. When do they see, like, the sharp money for game one of the entire year? Is it today? Is it game day? We have, no other games to go on, no other data points to go on. When does that show up? We'll ask him at that point. So, Paulie, if we get an award winner from tonight on one of these teams, the question is, like, where is it coming from? I think the obvious answer would be Drake May. 12-1 to win the MVP. Maybe you can find him a little bit higher than that. I had this guy, thanks to our buddy Chris Massiero, put me on him October 2nd last year at 95-1. He almost won the award. I hate being a year early on these guys, but that happens all the time. Oklahoma City, the year before they won it, huge numbers there. The Rams last year, 30-1. Several bets on them. Now this year, 5-1. Was that bet a year too early on Drake May? Now you have A.J. Brown and you have Romeo Doubs on the team, but a much more difficult schedule than a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not betting him, but would it be stunning if he won the award?
No, but it also goes back to the question I asked at the top of the show. Why was he so bad in the playoffs? Was he compromised, or was it they finally played some great defenses?
Well, if he was compromised, he certainly had enough time to get over it then, right?
No doubt. So that tonight's going to be big to see what he looks like tonight and can they protect him. But I just think he'll spread it around, so I don't want to look at any wide receivers there. He's as low as 10-1 at DraftKings, but there's so much competition and the love affair with Burrow and Josh Allen. I mean, my God, you got to start there too. I don't know how many games they win, though. That's right. I do think they're better than they were last year, but they probably win 10 games.
Yeah. Right.
So it's going to be, you're right, it's difficult with that schedule. And the other thing is I would throw out Gonzalez just because he got paid, and that would concern me, and he's always hurt.
He's 55-1 to win Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, look at that. And from a Seattle standpoint, I don't think there's anything that sticks out from a Seattle standpoint either, just because of, I think, also they spread it around, new offensive coordinator. Can Sam do it again? And you already have injuries that you're dealing with as well. So I don't think there's anything spectacular there How does JSN top what he did last year, right?
Well, he can't, and that's why he's available at like 20-1 to win Offensive Player of the Year. We're not going to bet Sam Darnold 28. Nobody's betting Sam Darnold to win the MVP, I wouldn't think, right? Like, what's Darnold going to have to do to win the MVP?
Uh-huh.
Like, what's the path there? He's gonna have to lead the league in passing yards. They have to win 13 games.
He can't put up those numbers. No.
Yeah, exactly right. Like, he's
they love
to
run the ball, too.
Sure. So that's not a bet. The offensive player of the year, I mentioned that with JSN, but my God almighty, like, even if he puts up a number that is on par with last year, that means that he is going to have to be better than every single receiver in football, and he has to hope to God that somebody like Jahmyr Gibbs, Bijan Robinson, or somebody else doesn't have just a, and they're all set up to have these gigantic years. I can't get there with JSN. He's got to come back to the pack a little bit. By the way, teams have had an entire offseason to prepare for this passing game now, too.
Mm-hmm.
Should mention that, and the new OC.
Tomorrow, yes, there's a ton of candidates in tomorrow's game. Here, I don't think so.
So I wanted to point this out. Yeah, but maybe offensive rookie of the year. I hate this market this year. My biggest bet is on Deshaun Stribling for the 49ers, but that number is long gone. Jadarian Price at plus 650. I think if you got him in pocket like around 9 or 10 to 1, okay, I can absolutely see that. But I don't really want to bet him at plus 650. Plus Charbonnet is going to come back at some point, who was one of their better weapons the last couple of years. The defense, so I'm a big Devin Witherspoon guy. Love him. I think he has, like, his ceiling is like to be a finalist for Defensive Player of the Year. I've also bet him before at higher numbers than 55 to 1, so I can't take him. But this is the guy that I'm talking about where the number could absolutely disappear. And it's on the defensive line. Now, it's difficult for a defensive tackle not named Aaron Donald to win the award. But Byron Murphy for the Seahawks, he's 100 to 1. He had 2 sacks in the Super Bowl last year. He was, middle of the first round pick when they took him out of college. The guy is a wrecking ball on defense. If he's in the backfield the entire night tonight, like the Super Bowl, and maybe he has 2 more sacks, I just think 100 to 1 tomorrow is going to be like 40 to 1 or 25 to 1, depending on how it looks tonight.
Isn't it scary, though, to think what Garrett's going to do when Donald can draw that attention?
Of course.
Or Garrett draws the attention on what Donald can do.
And that's the thing, right?
But also 4-1 to win the Defensive Player of the Year is kind of silly, though.
Sure. Like, who can you really make it? It's always one of the top guys at the list. Always. Will Anderson is the second choice. He's pretty obvious. I'm not going to bet 5-1 either. I would look at his teammate, Daniil Hunter, at 28-1. I bet him like almost every single year. Now, is there an angle where he can get like 20 sacks? I firmly believe that, because Will Anderson can be double-teamed the entire game, and they work on opposite edges, obviously, from each other. And Hunter is a game wrecker himself. So that number I don't mind. I've been on Nick Benito the last couple of years, also elite defense. He's 14-1. We're showing numbers right now from DK. I don't think I'm going to bet him again this year. So I'm not going to get there. Can't do it. I thought that he's had an amazing case the last 2 years, and he never won. And if I talked about a defensive tackle already with Byron Murphy, well, how about Jalen Carter at 28-1 for the Eagles? If the Eagles, and I think like the Eagles ceiling this year on defense is to be the best defense in football. If everything goes right for this team, and he's 28-1 center of the defense, again, defensive tackle overall, but if he's a reason why the rush defense is elite and maybe he puts up close to double digit sacks, 28-1 might not be bad on Jalen Carter, but I don't like betting Defensive Player of the Year.
Fleury's 40-1 assistant coach of the year. I mean, there's no way.
Well,
how can they?
I think there's a better way for him to win it than like Mike McDonald to win coach of the year, because they just won the Super Bowl. He had a great case, didn't win it. So what if the offense gets better?
I can't see. Get better?
Don't miss a beat. Darnold's even better than what he was last year.
That'd be tough. That'd be difficult.
It's also a...
Though I'd rather have him than a repeat for McDaniels. He's 25-1.
Okay.
But then again, it's like they've already handed the award to McDaniel, who's 4-1. My God.
Oh, jeez. 4-1?
Come on.
Wow.
Petzing 17 at Detroit. That's interesting.
Okay.
I know Chernoff's high on him and what he can do.
Loves him with the Lions. Well, I mean, there's an angle where I think like that team, because they're also award voters are not afraid to give a team like multiple awards. If you go back and look at the history of this thing, there's an angle here where if it really pops for Detroit this year, based on their schedule, like they're going to clean house with the awards. Like it would be Jahmyr Gibbs winning Offensive Player of the Year. I don't. Can Goff win the MVP? They were 15-2 in the one seed a couple years ago. He had an amazing season, had no chance to win the award. I don't know if he can. He has to repeat that year, and he has to hope guys like Allen and Lamar Jackson just don't do it this year.
It also depends on what Gibbs does at this season.
Yeah, right.
Like, what does it look like? But I could see that, yes.
And so maybe Campbell, I think, would be an angle for coach of the year. If they get the one seed, have the most wins, that could certainly happen. Or that you talked about for assistant coach of the year as well. Mm-hmm. I do have a bunch of bets this year with the awards. The MVP overall, I have two bets so far. One's Joe Burrow at plus 950. The other one is Tyler Shuck at 100-1.
Okay.
I think that's the way that he closed last year. Now, we're dinged a little bit here because of Tyson and the injury there. But, man, they still have some pretty good weapons.
This is like coming to Las Vegas and getting a beer, right? Like, when does it stop? What's the price? When is it going to be $20?
For a beer?
You see what Baker Mayfield got? I mean.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think that's going to stop because we're going to go to 18 regular season games. They're going to keep expanding into international markets, and they're going to have more money to pass around.
Will Hill checking in. My dog can get food anywhere. Very determined. He didn't even want to eat the hot dogs. He just wanted us to chase him. Eventually, he got tired.
Oh, that's even better then.
Oh, that's good.
He just wants to play and get chased, huh?
Well, you're playing fetch. Give me the hot dogs.
That would never happen to either of my dogs.
Uh-huh.
They would scarf him down in 2 seconds.
Beautiful. NFL Weekly on the Sharps turns each week's NFL slate into a sports prediction tournament. Everyone starts with the same chips, picks from the same slate, lands on one public leaderboard. You can see exactly where you stack up. Enter at jointhesharps.com or scan the QR code. Use code VSIN50 for a 50% deposit bonus up to $100. Jointhesharps.com. Easy to use. Love it. Go all in or be conservative. Promo code VSIN50. Jointhesharps.com. Several emails talking about they agreed with you how good that pizza place was in New Haven.
Oh, that was a great response to that. Yeah, they all said it was, what was it called, Zapardi's?
Yeah, because you also don't have the long wait. It rivals Sally's, Pepe's, and Modern.
Modern,
but you don't have the ridiculous wait. And also, Jeff pointing out, take a look at PCA stolen base prop, trying to get 40-40. And
got one last night?
Yeah, I know. And if I got the listener's name, you know who you are. TV doesn't do it justice. U.S. Open. It's crazy how big the grounds are, and it's so fun to walk around and just look at everything and all the everything that they offer there at Flushing.
When they were showing that aerial shot yesterday to try to get, like, every single court in the shot, I mean, that looks very impressive. I mean, let's be honest. We're super jealous of our buddy Nigel Seeley, who goes to this thing, like, every single year. It'd be a great event to attend.
Absolutely.
Mike Palm next, VP here at Circa. Got to ask him, like, over the course of time, these games are up on the board for so long. When do they really see the sharp money?
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Good to have you on board. We're live downtown Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino is your spot. We get the 2026 NFL lid lifter tonight, Seahawks against the Patriots. All right, now our good buddy, the maestro, Mike Palm, joins the program here in studio. He is the VP of Circa Las Vegas, the D and the Golden Gate. Hey, Mike, good to see you again. How are you today?
Happy NFL Wednesday, huh? Kickoff on a Wednesday?
Yeah, what do you think of this number right now?
I've said all along I don't get the number. They just played 6 months ago on a neutral, and one team dominated the game. It's always, right, the tradition, the Super Bowl winner opens at home. The Super Bowl loser has a curse. All the distractions with Rossini, and yet it's just staying there at 3? Stinky number to me.
So this is game one tonight, week one on Sunday as well. Different than the rest of the year because these games have been on the board now for months, obviously. Yep. So I know, like, betting, if you, like, a week six, by the way, like, trying to bet the NFL at 9 o'clock in the morning before kickoff, difficult to do at that point, right? So when do you see over the course of the summertime and, like, this week the most amount of sharp money? Is it, like, right now?
Sure. It's in the 48 hours before the game because the limits go up.
Yeah,
you know, you're at X limits, and then they become 2X, 3X, 5X, 10X as you get the game day. Unless you're, you know, in a different class where you're a 3X better or 5X and you have higher limits. And most pros aren't in that, right? So, it's still, even though you've got more money bet in because there's been months to bet it, Still, the significant action is going to come in the 48 hours before the game.
You're 4-0 on the Rams. Yeah. What do you think of this fiasco?
But the travel plans are just, you know, McVay's the smartest guy in the room. Just ask him, right?
Sure.
I don't understand it. That's why I can't play the game. I would love to face San Francisco this year because they've got injuries at every, they've got problems at every level.
Right.
Coaches, players, and owners.
Yes.
Right? Every level they've got issues.
Yeah, coach gets in a car accident. I mean, come
on. Just everything. But, and they look old and slow on offense in my mind. But anyhow, I can't, with this fiasco of a travel schedule, get involved with this game.
Fair enough. What do you think? Yeah. What do you think we're at now here? 21-660 for Survivor. The push continues. And boy, a big push today. Grandissimo 61 now with a couple of days left. What's your prediction?
And we just went over 5,000 in the millions.
Oh, you so, did?
Or 5,037, Ryan. The other two numbers you gave are dead accurate to the minute. Let's start with Survivor. I said my adjusted number was 25.5. I'll stick there. I think we're gonna we'll be at
all right.
We'll be over 22 by the end of the day, and then you have 2.5 days left. I don't like to count on Saturday because remember there's eight. You got to have six of the lines to bet college football. You can't have all these lines,
right.
So you're limited in your capacity on Saturday and what you can sign up. Grandissimo 61. We had four today out of nowhere that we never thought about. There's supposedly coming six more that we know of. I said it 10 million, right? I maybe there's an outside chance. I'd put my number at 85, over under 85 right now, if I had to set it. And then we will come right down to the last minutes on whether we get to the 6 million or not. Derek says it's minus 125 to the over 6 million, plus 105 to the under. If I were a betting man, I'd like to take a little bit of that under at plus 105.
Okay. If you guys were allowed, you're in six states?
We are.
Okay. If you were, I have to ask this every single year. If you were allowed to have people who lived in those other states where Circa is present at, to get involved, and they didn't have to come out to Las Vegas, Nevada, and sign up, this number would get to what for Survivor?
Well, remember, we would have to take a rake then, Mitch. Because the only reason we don't take a rake is because you have to come to our property to sign up. And so it's a marketing expense. The $7 million that Derek spends to run these contests every year is our marketing expense to get all these people into our property, and it's a bet on our property that we're going to win them over and they're going to be our customer. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's what the $7 million bet is.
I thought it was like a federal law where you guys couldn't do that.
What?
Allow like people in Missouri.
Well,
or
we can't, but what if, you know, there's a lot of laws changing right now. There's court cases
very true.
All these, you know, different circuits being held. And, you know, one day Kelce's legal, one day they're not. I mean, it's crazy, right? The Supreme Court has to step in. New Jersey's asked them to step in, and they have two issues to decide. Is this sports wagering? And if it is, then who regulates it, right? But it has to be decided. Because in the third circuit, Kelce and Polymarkets and all these folks can operate, but in the ninth they can, and then, you know, it's crazy. So anyhow, but if the laws were changed and the Wire Act didn't apply and
right.
we could let people register from anywhere, I would put 4X on it. 4X on what we're doing right now.
Yeah, you would touch 100,000.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
25
yeah.
million to 100 million.
Oh. Would you guys have to change the rules, you think?
I don't know. What are we gonna? What new holidays can we create?
I gotta pick two.
What? Columbus.
Week. Columbus.
Right. Yeah.
What are we doing? Oh. I hate two picks though. We will not do that to our customers.
Really?
Those double pick weeks?
Okay.
No.
We can hold
That's
you to
wrong.
Your word.
Right.
You're
well,
never gonna do that.
You never say never, Mitch.
Okay. Good.
All right. What did you make of the? First weekend of college football?
I think this NIL. And this whole transfer portal dilutes the product. I don't know. I look at it and I say, is this really a good product? I keep looking at the teams that are supposed to be elite even, that I just don't find them to be elite. We'll see. I mean, we'll see Ohio State and Texas. But there's so many new players coming into these programs. How do you build a cohesive units? When half the unit goes out, you lose. You got 11 defensive players. Let's just say two deep. 22 defensive players. How many are going to be back next year? Six, seven, eight? You're constantly rebuilding here. There's more cohesion in the pros. I think it just dilutes the product, is my opinion.
There's the super conferences are the worst idea ever, in my opinion. I will never get on board with those. And now they want to expand to 24 teams.
Why? And then they all have their own clocks and somewhere in the darkness. Wait a minute. I would buy the Big Ten's argument a little bit, just a little bit, if after the spike. They didn't reset the clocks to 9. Remember after they get the first down and Underwood spikes it? They stopped. The scoreboard clock said 8. The official came on. The lead official please reset the clock to 9 seconds. Well, why doesn't the Illuminati's clock go to 9? So how can the Illuminati have 10 and a half seconds when we just reset the scoreboard to 9? And then the Mac just lays down. They showed us the evidence. What evidence?
Well, it took a while.
The play took more than 9 seconds. I'm sorry.
I saw a good tweet about that. It's because all the Mac coaches want to get to the Big Ten.
Yeah.
All the Mac the conference wants to play these Big Ten games.
Sure, they get paid, all of them.
And then NBC,
that's their budget.
Of course, yes, it is. Right. So that's
NBC
why.
NBC what?
NBC carries the game, so people at NBC aren't going to say anything bad about it. Like, they got it right. They also, when they came out and admitted, the strobe system syncs these up 80 minutes before, 90 minutes before. So you just admitted that you sync them up before the game starts.
Have you ever heard of this Hawkeye clock? I've never even heard of it before. And all of a sudden, now we have a Hawkeye clock, and we have all these secondary. It's ridiculous.
McCauley
was dead,
that's,
right?
That's told the whole story.
Meanwhile, we have to have tenths of seconds on clock.
Have
football,
to.
Right?
Have
I mean,
to.
It's ridiculous that you have it in every other sport, but not football.
Yeah. I know that play never should have happened.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah.
What's with the Wildcat on 3rd and 2? What are you doing? A gadget play?
They
could have ran 10 seconds off the clock.
They controlled. It was amazing how they just kept grinding out the whole second half. First down, 9-minute drive, 7. They were in control. I would have said Michigan had like a 10% chance to stop them from getting a first down when they had 3rd and 2, right? And they have to run a gadget play to fumble and kick the. It was just so ludicrous what they did. And you still gave up a 50-yard touchdown pass on the last play of the game.
Yeah. Well, you hit on something interesting, too, about the money and what these kids are making. What do you think if you're on the Michigan team in the locker room and you know what Underwood makes and he can't complete an 8-yard out?
And then Winningham says, you know, nobody's jobs again. He said, what did he say? Underwood, did you see that?
Yeah, right.
And then Underwood doesn't even know what he said. What?
He's the number one quarterback for now.
Yeah, and then Underwood said, what did he say? Underwood asked him, what did he say? What did Winningham say about that?
Well, he just assumes he can do whatever he wants because he got that much money.
He's
so
awful.
How could he?
He was awful, and he's still awful.
So what do you make of that number now against Oklahoma?
I mean, Oklahoma didn't play anybody, but Michigan is putrid. They were putrid last year. This is not a good. They're a bad defensive team. You let Western Michigan just run the ball straight at you for an entire half and couldn't stop them. Well, you knew what was coming.
Another note: you're a big ref guy. How do they miss the face mask and the running into the punter?
Well, there's all
clear as day.
There's all kinds of things that are just infuriating about the part. You should be able. I like with this Canadian Football League or even the XFL did. You have a super challenge, right? You can challenge anything. Anything.
Mm-hmm.
Challenge a defensive pass, a missed face mask, a missed body of the ball, anything. One a game. A super challenge.
Yeah.
Why not?
Why should the NFL not adapt that?
But it's the same time, and college football has so many reviews, it's infuriating. I mean, they're reviewing everything. They Notre Dame, Wisconsin, they had like 6 reviews in the first quarter.
I know.
It just kills the whole flow of the game.
And they got the one wrong anyway.
How could they rule that guy recovered the... And I'm a Notre Dame kid.
Yes, right.
How could they rule that he had possession? You synced up the two angles. The ball was clearly out. His foot was on the line. Yep.
Quickly here, because you got to fly. You guys need what tonight officially?
We will need Seattle tonight, actually.
You'll need them?
Right now, as of right now.
And the over?
As of the over.
As of right now. Okay.
Interesting. Good. Good job, Mike.
Good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to see you. Think you're better than the experts? Now's your chance to prove it. The Edge Boost Average Joe Contest. Put you in the same pick'em format as the Circa Friday Football Invitational. The top average Joe earns a spot next year's field, free to play, register anytime during the season. And Edge Boost is offering a $1,000 deposit if you finish first for the week. If you don't have an account yet, sign up at edgeboost.io with promo code VEASAN and make sure your account's funded with at least $100. Enter the contest today, VEASAN.com/Joe. Get up there now, free, win some money, strut your stuff, VEASAN.com/Joe.
Props for tonight's game coming up next. The Seahawks loved throwing the ball to this position a year ago, and I'm not talking about the one played by JSN. Thanks for checking in today. Man, this is, doesn't it just feel different right now with the game tonight? I know college came back, and now we get college and the NFL. And we had the best summer like ever with the World Cup. What a tournament that was.
I love what they're doing here Wednesday, Thursday. This is great to start the season. I know it's, should this be the opener after what happened in the Super Bowl? But I'm not, no negativity.
No. If you ask me which game I would have preferred, the Seahawks get the Bears this year. I thought Seahawks Chicago would have been the absolute nuts here.
I'm with you. With you.
But no complaining.
Yes.
Nope.
And I think tomorrow's the nuts as well. So this is fantastic how the league did this and going into week one.
All right, so let me run down some of these numbers to get to the T's immediately here. So JSN, he won the Offensive Player of the Year a year ago. He deserved it. He was amazing. He had 84-plus yards in 14 of the regular season games. He averaged more than 105 per game, 9 100-yard games. Did have 10 targets in the Super Bowl, only 4 catches. But in the playoffs, touchdown against the Niners, 10 for 153 against the Rams. So you all know about him, obviously. There is also this, when you go back and look at like DVOA and how many times different positions got thrown the football, Seattle was sixth in DVOA passing to running backs last year, sixth. They attempted 7.6 passes to running backs per game last year. That was tied with the 49ers for the most in the league. Again, they had CMC, who was a target monster again last year. So 7.6 attempts per game. The next closest team to those two, 6.4 on average. 37.9 yards per game, sixth most in the league. We had a guest on earlier, live from the stadium tonight. We asked him about this as well. There's no more Kenneth Walker, and Zach Charbonnet is not healthy. He's not playing tonight. So you're looking at Jadarian Price and George Halani. Their numbers are so low, it's tantalizing to me to get involved with them. Halani now, 2-plus catches, juiced to the gills. Jadarian Price, now, he was, the guest we had on, was also talking about, oh, Price, you know, the thought is not a great receiving running back. Also, he was buried behind Love at Notre Dame. It's 1.5, over plus 120. His yards is 7.5. Halani is 11.5 yards. Man, those are low. They're going to replace almost eight targets and 40 yards per game last year? I had to bet both guys.
Yeah. Does he get the fullback involved too? That's the other question.
Well, I like your angle about maybe anytime touchdown there. Bring that up again.
Yeah. It's
Brady Russell.
Thank you. Brady Russell. So Fleury comes in from San Francisco. Love to use the fullback there. Everyone knows about Juszczyk. And there are several quotes where Russell will be our Juszczyk in this offense and how they're going to use him. So my question to the audience is, if you would ever see Juszczyk at like 45-1 anytime touchdown, you'd have to take that, right? So that's what he is tonight. And it's a lot of unknowns here. As you pointed out several times, he's never called plays before. And what this is going to look like, and is it different from Kubiak? This is going to be the fullback, and quote, he is our Juszczyk in this offense, and coming from San Francisco, the bread and butter, and how big the fullback was, 45-1 anytime touchdown with Russell tonight for Seattle.
Well, remember when Ryan Kramer, Sports Gambling Podcast, famously a couple years ago, Super Bowl, gave out Juszczyk first reception of the game at like 23-1 and it hit?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if any books are offering that. First reception of the game. Brady Russell there. This is also from our guest, Andrew Destin. He covers the Seahawks for The Athletic. He wrote this in his story about Brian Fleury, the OC, tying into what practice has been like. So the reserve running back is Emmanuel Wilson. He has run more routes in practice than he usually did in his first 3 years with the Packers. Ample opportunities to catch passes out of the backfield could loom for rookie Jadarian Price and third-year pro George Halani. I think maybe a lot to like there. Also,
I think Halani's low. He's popular. I think Shahid's low. Considering they've been saying they want a bigger role for him, and they gave him a big contract. He's also 2.5 for rushing yards, which going back, Kubiak would give him the ball in an end around. I would think they're going to give him a couple touches there too, and it's much like we'll see tomorrow with Puka, where they want to get him involved as much as possible because he's so dangerous.
Right. Well, that's the thing. You can find that prop bet at probably a bunch of books, and that is, will Shahid get one carry? Will Puka Nacua get one carry tomorrow night?
Now, the New England standpoint, you're right. Maybe Dobbs is a big role. Maybe it's A.J. Brown. There's a rapport there. But I just think you have to sit. I'm going to sit this one out because I don't know what it's going to look like with the new toys and if they're going to sprinkle it around or like try to feed it to A.J. Because, I mean, Pop Douglas looks intriguing at 19.5. He looks low. How much do I believe that the rookie from Notre Dame is getting more reps than Henry and they have big plans for him? and that maybe Henry getting up there in age doesn't have a big role.
Well, it's exciting to think about.
Right. He's low with his prop. Some people are making the cases for him over, but if they're going to give Eli some run, and he is, would you get anytime 14 to 1?
13.
Anytime? 13 to 1 anytime touchdown. But if they love the third round pick out of Notre Dame, maybe he gets some run and see how they attack it. But remember the Super Bowl. It was Cooper Kupp and Mac Hollins that had the big games, respectively, for the teams here.
Right.
And JSN didn't do anything.
It's also A.J. Brown's first game overall as a Patriot. It always begins well with A.J. Brown. Third team now in his career. Titans, awesome rookie season. Eagles, massive difference as soon as he came over. And now game one with the Patriots. Doesn't really end well for him, though. Hence the third spot now in his career. This is his head coach, Mike Vrabel, talking about Brown's maturity.
I think that the maturity has been probably what I've appreciated seeing on a daily basis. We had AJ as a young player, continued that relationship personally, and I could sense that he was growing and making strides in that regard. But having him here and seeing him each and every day and the way that he communicates and where he's at, you know, in the training room and his routine, just seeing, I guess, his routine, his daily routine, and the way that he talks to the young receivers or the way that he communicates with Todd or Josh or the quarterback, you know, I would say that that's probably a little different than, you know, the day-to-day person I saw as a young player.
I don't think there'll be any problems. And with Vrabel there and their relationship, it'll be fine. And let's just be honest, it's a fact he didn't get along with Hurts. And whether or not that played into why Hurts wouldn't throw him the ball more, who knows? This is how it goes. Just make me happy, feed me early, and you know, let's put up numbers.
Can you imagine if May had Brown and Dobbs last year in this offense against that schedule?
Yeah.
He probably does win the MVP then.
No doubt. Absolutely.
I'll point this out again, too, because I thought it was intriguing today. Luke and I were looking around most wins, and you can match up any team in the league against another to find a price on that. Most wins at FanDuel, the price on this was Seahawks minus 120, Patriots plus 150. You're like, oh, hold on a second. I can arb that bet. At DK, Seahawks are minus 105 plus 140 on the Patriots. Well, there's a catch to that. The fine print at DK reads, NFL ties do not count as wins. The team named in the market must finish the regular season with more wins than the selected team. If both teams finish with the same number of wins, bets will be settled as a loss. There you go. So I don't exactly encourage you to bet both teams in a market like that, because if they finish with the same amount, you're going to lose both bets.
Yep.
Not ideal.
Ready to go? JSM, 25 yards each half, $1.10. Catch each quarter, plus 125. May, 100 yards each half, plus 130. Price, come on. 5 yards rushing each quarter, plus 160. Well, Stevenson's plus 160. Same thing. Price, 25 yards each half, 2-1. A.J. Brown, a catch each quarter, plus 225. 5 yards each quarter.
That's not really bad. Not awful.
Feed them early. Make them happy. 5 yards each quarter plus 330. What was JSN for? Yeah, catch was the same thing. I mean, these are great, too, if you think they're going to establish the run early on, but also get Price involved early. The JSN, the A.J. Brown angle. I really like the Price one, but that's good stuff up at Caesars with the game specials. What happens if you're in an accident and their driver doesn't have insurance or not nearly enough? You're stuck with the medical bills, car repairs, and lost wages. That's why Lasso Injury Law steps in. Their experienced team knows the ins and outs of uninsured and underinsured motorist claims, and they fight to make sure you're not left paying for someone else's mistake. Call 702-625-8777 for your free consultation. No voicemail, no runaround. Real people ready to help. Lasso Injury Law, your future matters. 702-625-8777. LassoInjuryLaw.com. Consultations free. He is the best. Take it from us.
Paul Charchian called me yesterday. He said, I know I'm on Thursday, but there's such a strong betting angle for the game tonight. So I asked, why don't you pop on for a couple of minutes today? He'll do just that. next on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.